with whom I spent a few months, pleasant ones, at WISN in Milwaukee, who is now with CBS News, located in Chicago, and is here to cover a kind of an interesting story. Are there or aren't there? And if so, whose are they? What are they? Where are they from? Bill Plant of CBS News is here. You've seen him, I'm sure, and heard his reports from various parts of this country. Now, come up with a news story, if possible, for use tonight on the Walter Cronkite program, which perhaps you'll see, certainly perhaps you'll hear. Bill, what have you found out in Lower Michigan about UFOs?
Well, Tony, we had a very interesting conversation with some people from the Extraterrestrial Space Laboratory at the University of Michigan over in Ann Arbor this morning. And these are scientists, men who are very well qualified, and they're not skeptics. They feel that there's something there, and they'd like to know from a scientific viewpoint what it is. They talk about propulsion systems and these very complicated in scientific terms, which are not too easy for us to understand, but they're convinced that there are propulsion systems, means of traveling beyond what we know, beyond our rocketry and so forth. And they would like to get these things apart and pick them apart and analyze them and measure them, and they wish one would land where they could measure it.
You're kind of not a skeptic generally either, Bill. What's your impression? Is it spring?
Well, Tony, it sure is spring, and I haven't seen any of these things myself, so I don't really know for sure, but I'm sure that these people over in the Ann Arbor area and Dexter area in Washtenaw County did see something, because there were over 40 people who reported sighting some sort of flying object with lights that made no noise.
The description was somewhat the same.
The description that they gave of that object in that area was dovetailed in almost every instance. Now, some said that there were no antennas and some said there were, but the variations were minor.
Is there a possibility, do you think, Bill, that this could be related to the monster which was located in Michigan not too long ago? It was never found, but it was reportedly seen by a number of people and allegedly attacked one.
Tony, did it fly and have three lights on it?
Well, I don't know. He might have gotten out. We'll have to wait and see. Your reaction thus far is that there could be some credibility to this.
I think so, because 12 of the 40 or so people who saw this were law enforcement officers, supposedly trained observers, sheriff's men and local police department men, whose word the people are inclined to take it at its value.
Do we have a particular attraction in southern Michigan?
Well, some of these scientists speculated that if this sort of craft, if it was manned by intelligent beings, that it might be looking for radio waves. And they say they have a powerful transmitter down there in Ann Arbor, which is sending signals constantly to places like the moon and other planets. And they thought, as a theory, just off the top of their heads, that it's possible it could be attracted to something like that. But beyond that, nobody seems to know.
Perhaps there are UFOs. We don't know. We're going to find out. As we finished our interview with Bill Plant, and there are a number of onlookers gathered here, a gentleman said, I saw mine back in 1945, so I thought perhaps you'd be interested in this gentleman's comments, as the subject of UFO is big news in Michigan right now. Sir, may I have your name, please?
My name is Wilbur Walters.
Mr. Walters, tell me a little bit about your location. Where are you from, sir?
I'm from Hillsdale, Michigan.
Mr. Walters, it was in 1945...
I'm pretty sure that it was in 1945. I might be confused. I thought maybe it was 44, but I think it's 45 for sure.
And at that time, in your belief, you saw an unidentified flying object?
We definitely saw an unidentified flying object.
Tell me about the situation at the time. Where were you? What were you doing? And so on.
At the time, I was running the Hillsdale Foundry Company, and our truck had had flat tires at Ypsilanti, and we had taken tires up to the truck. We found that we couldn't get the tires fixed in Ipsy, so I started for Ann Arbor to get the tires fixed. This was about 1:15 in the morning. As we traveled along this stretch of road between Ann Arbor and Ipsy, a rather straight stretch of road, this area became brightly lighted, and we had our window down, and from the woods, between the woods and ourselves, this object came along, which would appear to be about the size of, oh, probably twice the size of a basketball, and proceeded along parallel to us, making a sound very much like a crackling of sparks and so forth, and then proceeded ahead of us.
Mm-hmm. Did it,
this could be heard very clearly by all of us.
What was the weather that night?
The weather was clear.
Did this object go to the ground? Did it maintain
a steady level? No, it maintained a steady level.
Did it ever go up while you were watching it?
It went down to the group of houses beyond there, and then it just vanished completely.
Approximately how long would you say you saw it?
I would say we saw it probably about a minute and a half.
You are definite in your belief that there was an object there?
There definitely was an object there, for it lighted the scenery so brightly that the truck in front of us was very visible to us.
May I ask you how many were in your automobile at that
time? There were three of us.
And all of you feel very definite?
And all of us feel very definite that was definitely an object there.
Mr. Walrus, thank you very much for talking with us.
You're welcome, sir.
That was 1945. This is 1965, 20 years later. Apparently, they're still flying. A very pleasant spring day, and a very pleasant young lady from Hillsdale College, a student at Hillsdale College. Let's find out her name.
My name's Sarah Robichek.
Sarah, tell me where you're from, please.
Cleveland, Ohio.
What grade are you currently in, if that's the right term?
I'm a freshman.
You are a freshman. Tell me about what happened last night at Hillsdale College.
Last night around 11:30, we'd been watching the storm that was taking place here, and we looked out our second floor dorm window and saw what appeared to be a house almost in the middle of the arb. But we realized there wasn't a house there, so we kept watching it, and it had a yellow glow and the lights were fluctuating. And we kept on watching it, and the yellow lights seemed to disappear. And we saw three lights that went from yellow to red and fluctuated.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to lift off the ground if it had been down on the ground, but it moved up. And we watched it for a while. It was hovering, or seemed to be, because the lights were fluctuating and almost going around.
It did not stay in a stationary position.
It was almost stationary. It just seemed to move
mm-hmm.
a little.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched it, and all of a sudden it moved up. And then it moved back down. And so we called the civil defense because we'd been asked to call and give a direction and a time. And we called and said it was due east at 11:30. And he called the police and said they would go out and see if they could see it. And they went out. And as they drove up the Arb Road, their red lights bothered whatever we were seeing because it moved up and down and to the right and left.
Mm-hmm.
And the lights fluctuated even more.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came back down the road, and the civil defense man drove around the back of our dorm, and his lights shone across the arb. And this also bothered it because it became very bright, and then it became very dim, and it started to move back across the horizon. So we kept watching it, and the civil defense man came up to our room to watch it. And he watched it for about a half an hour, and it was getting dimmer and dimmer and moving toward the airport and back toward the horizon. And he watched it for a while, and he said it was definitely a UFO because it was moving, and they couldn't see it from the road, so they couldn't find it. And we watched it. He left and told us to watch if we wanted to, and that when, if anything else happened, to write down the time and the direction and anything else we saw. We watched it for about 20 more minutes, and it was disappearing, getting farther and farther back. And then just before it completely disappeared, we saw the yellow glow again we'd seen in the beginning.
How far away from the dorm was it the first time you saw it? Roughly.
The first time we saw it, I'd say it was about a half a mile, but I don't really know.
The gentleman in the police car who investigated the situation see it as they drove by?
No, they couldn't see it at all.
They could see nothing when they went to
and
the area.
And no one could see it from the ground. They could only see it from the second floor of our dorm.
I see. How many students were there, co-eds who actually saw this?
I think about 50 who actually saw it.
And you saw it for a total of about an hour?
Me, my roommate, and I, and two other girls watched it for about 2.5 hours.
Thank you very much,
Sarah.
Thank you. A student at Hillsdale College with a report on a UFO. It was a real pleasure to get together with Bill Plant. Bill is a young fellow whose age I would estimate now at 27 to 29, a graduate of Northwestern University, who at the time I knew him was a fellow announcer with WISN-TV in Milwaukee, where he was employed for well over a year. He received a CBS fellowship as the result of his potential ability, and studied under that fellowship for a period of 2 years, then has joined since CBS News, has covered racial stories in Alabama and a number of other major news stories in this country and overseas. Most recently, he has been assigned to CBS News in Chicago, and believe you me, as the door of this airplane opened and Bill stepped down the steps, it was more than ever evident that we're living in kind of a small world after all. A small world that seems to be getting larger, Dave, as far as Hillsdale is concerned, in news developments.
It's rather surprising, the interest in this particular story. We have had a chance to talk with Bud Van Horn, and his telephone is just ringing off the wall with telephone calls from every place, including Washington, D.C., and almost every state in the union. We here at the radio station just a little while ago received a request from a station in Portland, Maine, to do a report for them from the UFO situation in Hillsdale. And earlier today, a radio station in Alabama. So there indeed is a lot of interest. We have a report from our news source here that about 87 girls at Hillsdale College, along with their house mother, happened to have a chance to see that. I'd like to have a chance to talk with the house mother. Maybe we can line that up a little later.
It's rather interesting to look back on some of the conversation that Bill discussed, Bill Plant of CBS News, talking about some of the scientists at the University of Michigan with whom they discussed this question. And their relation of the possibility of a flying object to radio beams in this area is an interesting observation. I don't think that the possibility of a relationship between unidentified flying objects and unseen monsters in Michigan has been explored to this point. I seem to be inclined to be a little skeptical in my conversation of this, Dave, and I perhaps should not be. Bill indicated that they interviewed well over 40-some people in the Dexter, Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti area, and their descriptions of what they saw were so alike that it was hard to discount. People who were unrelated certainly had not had an opportunity to contact each other and discuss things ahead of time, had established beliefs as to what they saw. Their descriptions were quite uniform, and as the result, some credulity has to be given to the possibility of unidentified flying objects in the southern Michigan area.
I think it's well worth mentioning that this is not the first UFO sighting in the Hillsdale County area. Bill Vincent and a group of students from the Hillsdale High School have been carrying out a little research along this line for the last 10 days or so, and they have almost, I guess, nightly spotted some unidentified flying objects in the Hillsdale County skies. So last night's sighting is not the first one, but one that was seen by a large number of people. This was probably one of the largest groups of people ever to see a UFO at one time.
Rather interesting to note the amount of news of national prominence which has emanated from the Hillsdale County area within the last 2 years. Initially, the Essex Wire labor dispute, which received prominent mention in the news across the country, followed by last year's April the 11th vicious tornado, which did millions of dollars worth of damage and took several lives, and certainly which also received national publicity. And now, a subject, UFO. This has been discussed, written about, pictured, diagrammed. Artists have come up with their conception of this based upon descriptions for a good 20 years. You will recall, Dave, just a moment ago, talking with Mr. Walters, who in 1945 said he noticed a flying object. And he and two companions at that time have no doubt in their minds whatsoever that there was an unidentified flying object within easy range of them, that they saw it. They definitely saw something. They were able to describe it. They saw it for a period of a minute and a half under perfect weather conditions. They are able to describe the situation quite vividly. It is not done with any lack of sincerity whatsoever. It rings very true. This story is a long way from finished.
Back in 1954, I had a chance to attend a lecture in Grand Rapids, Michigan, by a fellow, his name was George Adamski, and he at that time claimed that he had actually taken rides in these flying saucers and had some pictures that he had taken of the flying saucers. He also, incidentally, to bring in your area of being somewhat skeptical about the whole situation, he was selling a book at the time, but he had actually claimed to have taken some rides. But there is some credence that's being given to this particular situation in Hillsdale County and in southern Michigan. For this morning, the Air Force at Selfridge Air Force Base announced that Dr. H. Allen Hunyuk, he's from Northwestern University, is flying in to investigate the rash of sightings. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if he might possibly arrive in this area, because they indicate that he's flying in to investigate, probably go to Ann Arbor, maybe even to Hillsdale. He is, incidentally, chairman of the Dearborn Observatory at Northwestern and is a scientific consultant on the Air Force's UFO study program called Project Blue Book. So there is consideration being given to this particular story by the Air Force and the United States government also.
You know, Dave, for a number of years there has been a society, a formed organization for the investigation of unidentified flying objects. It's a non-military organization which has been formed by a group of people who sincerely believe that they have seen these items and would like to get them defined. They are requesting and have requested a number of times that the government give out information which they feel the government has as to what these might be. As yet, there has been nothing official. The government has never officially said there are such things as unknown flying objects, and as the result, the situation has remained somewhat static. But there is a definite organization trying to get the government to come up with information that they may have on this. Bill Plant mentioned, incidentally, that in one area, and I believe it was the Dexter area, one of the people who saw this object on the ground took a picture of it, or at least attempted to, with a Minox camera. That film currently is in the Minox laboratories in New York for processing. CBS News and Associated Press, and I would imagine a number of other sources, are in a real scramble right now to see who can be first to get the film, to see what, if anything, is on it. You might be interested to know, right now, I am facing the entrance to the Slayton Arboretum, established in 1922. There are two college students standing along the shoreline of the pond here at the Arboretum, and now strolling about, apparently looking for sign, if there is any remaining sign of the object that was here, if it was here, and whatever it was. Looking directly into the Arboretum,
There is now no question that the students who are directly ahead of me right now are looking to see if possibly there is some evidence of this object in the area. As a matter of fact, as I look about the Arboretum, there are more than two, and they appear to be doing the same thing. This is the area directly ahead of me where the unidentified flying object allegedly was. This is the road, Barber Drive, along with Arbor Road, that the police inspected last night in an effort to see this unidentified flying object. They were unable to see it from the car. As a matter of fact, as the young lady mentioned that we interviewed, the freshman here at Hillsdale College, no one was able to see it from the ground, nor from a car, but they were able to see it from the elevated position in the dormitory second floor. I am on Barber Drive right now, about to get to the entrance of the Simpson Athletic Field, and I will make a turn, go up to Hillsdale Street, and move slightly to the north and see if we can get into a specific area of where this item allegedly was seen.
Tony, have you had a chance to determine whether there was more than one object? I know in the Ann Arbor area there were three or four that they sighted, one that came down fairly close to the ground and three others that were up above sort of as watch ships. Have you determined whether there was more than one vehicle sighted in the swampy area near the Arb?
The very good description given by the young lady from Hillsdale College was that of a rectangular-shaped structure.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like a house. It was one, from their judgment, one complete rectangular house-shaped object with a yellow glow that emanated initially, fluctuating lights, movement apparent, although overall stationary. The object appeared to stay in the same general area, but it seemed to be fluttering, seemed to be vacillating a bit.
Van Horn said that the object emitted waving orange, red, and white lights and appeared to hover just above the swamp between 1,000 and 1,500 yards from the dorm. He also said that he could not establish the object's shape, but he thinks that it was either round or oblong. He said that he thinks the lights change colors because of the saucer, or whatever the object was rotating.
That's possibly so. It's kind of an interesting thing, Dave, to note that in these cases that we have heard discussed to this point, swamps have been mentioned a lot. Whether this is an effort to get into an area where there is no habitation, whether water is or dampness is particularly attractive to this type object, all of these remain items for conjecture. I'm now down in front of the home that was formerly occupied by George Deveney of WCSR, and the new dormitory we're talking about is off to my right.
You know, one comment that I thought was interesting, the young lady you had a chance to interview that had seen the object, whatever it might be, when she indicated that it seemed to be affected with the flashing red light of the police cars. I think there were three squad cars that were sent up there and seemed to be rather apprehensive as far as its actions were concerned when the flashing red lights were coming along.
Her comment was something to the effect that it hovered, it moved, it seemed to take on more movement. There seemed to be some reaction, at least, to the light. Passing lights, the flashing lights on top of the police vehicles, and not only that, but the headlights when they were shown in the direction of it.
Do you know if anybody had a chance to take a picture last night, by any chance?
To my knowledge, no one did. Now, we will get into this a little bit further during the course of the day and find out whether anyone from the college did attempt to take a picture at this time. The reason I was interested in, first of all, why someone would be looking out the window in the first place and notice something of this. That was explained by the young lady. by the fact that there was a storm and they had been watching the storm out the window. To notice a house where there is not a house is unusual to say the least. But if you're looking for something, and with the publicity that had been about in southern Michigan regarding unidentified flying objects, why, perhaps there's more to believe to this than we are willing to admit to ourselves. There have been, Bill Vincent is a good example of this, people in southern Michigan who have set up organized groups to watch for flying objects. They have seen them. I'm only inclined to wonder whether people who are looking for something, particularly, who are expecting to see something, are not more likely to see it than those who are not looking. Now, to give you an example of this, a hunter in the woods in early morning or late afternoon who is straining to see a deer, the object of his hunt, will many times find himself, after a period of watching, seeing a deer where there is not a deer.
Mm-hmm. I think one reason that there has been given as much credence to this particular sighting as there has is the number of people involved. It's reported 87 girls along with a house mother, and also the fact that Civil Defense Director Bud Van Horn, who is respected in civil defense circles and is well trained along these lines, also had a chance to observe the object, whatever it might be, last night. And I think that's one reason why there's as much interest in this particular sighting as there has been given.
Have you talked with Mr. Van Horn on the air as yet today?
To the best of my knowledge, we have not had a chance to talk directly with him. He has been overwhelmed with telephone calls. There have been a couple of communications directly with him, but I don't know whether he has been on the air or not.
I am heading toward town on Hillsdale Street at the present time. Mr. Van Horn will be engaged for a period of time here with the representatives of the Columbia Broadcasting System News Department. I will then attempt to get Bud to talk with us on the air to find out who he has been receiving contacts from, what organizations, if possible. Get his own, as an eyewitness, opinion of what he saw and what he thinks it might have been. And perhaps we'll be able to determine just a little bit more at that time. But there's some credence, apparently, to the unidentified flying objects reported in southern Michigan.